A sermon on Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26, the Beatitudes and Woes. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what our ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The peace, grace, and love of the triune God be a blessing to you now and always. Amen. My sermon intro is going to be given by the man in black himself, Johnny Cash. Well, why, you might ask? It's because when I started thinking about these Beatitudes and Woes, I couldn't help but remember this song by Mr. Cash titled "No Earthly Good." What it means to be so heavenly minded that you are no earthly good. And in reverse, right? So earthly used up, you are no longer heavenly minded. And that struggle, the struggle we have with this gospel message today, is exactly that dynamic. We can't somehow try and hold these two things together very well. And in the end, Jesus is the answer to all of that. But first, let's listen to some of this Cash theology, and then I'll preach a bit. So if you're just listening to this, I invite you to go to YouTube or some other channel and look up Johnny Cash, "No Earthly Good," and take a listen, and then come back. Okay, so that was simple and yet powerful, wasn't it, that song? Just like many of Johnny's songs, right? Plain spoken, raw, kind of in and amongst, a little bit saint and a little bit sinner. I think Johnny might in fact have been a Lutheran maybe. And I think he also would have been moved by what Jesus was saying to the disciples on the plane that day. What Jesus is saying to us here today, right out of Luke. Now, everyone tends to focus on the blessings and the woes of this passage. You know, the poor, hungry, weeping, hated, and the rich, full, laughing, and spoken well of, right? But I don't always like to go with everyone else. And so this week, it wasn't necessarily the Beatitudes themselves that spoke to me. It was the Jesus of the plain and the interpretation and application of what he preached that spoke to me. The first thing we can pay attention to is who Jesus is speaking to in the gospel. We make the assumption, I think, often that the teaching in this gospel is targeted at the crowd of people who came to listen to him. But if we read more carefully, that's not the case. He's teaching the disciples. In verse 20, he looked up at them. He's teaching the chosen leaders of this boots-on-the-ground movement, or maybe I should say sandals-on-the-ground movement. This message was never intended to be the binding moral code of a larger community, but instead it was used as a call to responsibility for those who chose to follow Jesus. Those who have made that choice and accepted the responsibility for it. Because this is not a message that is easily accepted. This is a message of the world turned upside down. This is similar to the message we hear out of Jeremiah today, right? That blessedness comes from radical trust and dependence on God. Not earthly things, not yourself. And that, my friends, is a difficult message to hear, let alone embody as North American 21st century Christians of a Lutheran persuasion. Jesus is giving it to us here plainly. It's truth-telling. It's in your face and it's raw. This isn't the Jesus of dreamy paintings. This is standing with us in a Johnny Cash shirt wearing Jesus. And the message distilled down is this. When we shift our focus, our trust, our attention, our will away from God and from God's will of love, we disconnect from the universal. And we find ourselves off kilter and grasping, searching, always looking for something else to right us again, to prop us up, even if it's just for a moment. And so why are we so surprised that earthly things don't right us again? They don't reconnect us to what we feel we are distant and removed from. Because we're human creatures, right? We're part of creation, not the master of it. But we often think ourselves as such. We often think ourselves as such. So I want to ask you, when was the last time wealth and power changed the world, changed someone's heart? Wealth and power, in at least the view of the author of Luke, seems to present the argument that wealth and power do nothing but isolate us from God and from our fellow creation, human or not, and that the opposites, poverty, disenfranchisement, they isolate and shame each of us from one another and from God as well. So there you have it, the not so uplifting good news for today. We're damned if we do and damned if we don't. But Jesus doesn't stop there. See, Jesus knows that we can't get it. We're a bit slow on the uptake. And Jesus keeps talking. Jesus points us to the promise. The challenge is to look at all of this with different lenses. This is not a call to reject innovation, advancement, human ingenuity. It is a call to see that we have been out of the garden a very long time. And we've been having to do a lot of that building on our own, and much of it with failure as a result. We've been making the same mistakes over and over again. Tell me that isn't what history is. Just one long story of who died, how they died, how the powerful were somehow triumphant, and what positive results somehow came out of violence, oppression, dismissal, or disregard. Right now, even in our schools, we're having a battle over whether or not the truth of the founding of this country and its full history, right up to today, of resistance and tried and failed reconciliation of the fact that American prosperity is a result of slavery and the economic gains because some people owned other people. Some people thought that God created a tiered system of equality, that somehow we aren't all the same people who were cast out of the garden together. You see, when we begin to believe that we can be gods, little g, ourselves, and master this created world we live in, from the subatomic particle to the galaxies afar, we begin to believe the same as Adam and Eve, that knowledge in and of itself is the Savior, not God. That knowledge and advancement will fix what is wrong inside and out. That knowledge and its use for good or ill replaces the need for God in the system that God created. We are here, my friends. We've been here before. And some might say it is the human dilemma to overcome this very easy tendency to think in these patterns. This is what Jesus is speaking about here. This is the world he is trying to turn upside down and say, oh, really? Could it be different? I challenge you to think about what has truly made a difference in the end. What has moved you to new understanding or a new heart? Was it more money in your paycheck? Or was it that picnic lunch on that beautiful sunny day with someone you loved that changed your heart? Would you ask for a better car or one more day with your grandparents if given the opportunity? If you stood in the ER, do you wish for more cable channels? Or do you wish for the doctors to find a way to save your loved one? Was it the pain of the argument or seeing the other person maybe for the first time that grew your relationship? Is it the disillusionment that nothing we do in church matters? Or the freedom that comes from knowing that nothing we do in church matters that grows our faith? Is it our inability to see God in the poor, the dirty, the violent, the heartbreak, the loss, the frustration? Or the reality that an inability to see is our failing, not God's? You see, Jesus is saying here that if you follow him to where he is going, he is there with us, and that he will always be there with us, on the way to the cross, up to the foot of the cross, and yes, up on the cross, and finally back down, showing us that we can't control our way to anything. We can't buy our way to anything. We can't scientifically design our way to anything. And we can't believe our way into anything. God has done that work. And if we trust in that, have faith in that, the world snaps into focus. And we catch a glimpse of the kingdom. And the kingdom is full of the faith of the poor, the trust of the hungry, the emotional freedom of the weeping. And when that is seen, heard, and felt, it is the place of conversion, my friends. It is the place of revelation. It is when we are earthly and heavenly minded at the same time, and our restless human will is brought to rest in the peace of the universal God, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Because God's will is love. Therefore, you are loved because you are of God. And the struggle of our existence is to hold those two things in our hearts without losing our earthly ties and our heavenly promises. The struggle is to know that love and pain exist together. Loss and love do too. Human misstep and human advancement happen together. There is darkness and there is light. The message is not that the darkness isn't there. It is simply that the light is not overcome by it. And our job is not to manage the light or the darkness. It is to exist within it. Release ourselves to it. But in the meantime, we have grace to see us through. And Jesus, right? We have Jesus to see us through. The Jesus of the plane. The Jesus of the boat. The Jesus of the garden in grief. The Jesus, a friend of Lazarus. The Jesus, the table flipper. The Jesus of the cross and the resurrection. Jesus, the incarnate one. Jesus, the Word and the way. And when you know this, what happens is what Johnny Cash sings about in his song. You're shining your light, and shine it you should. If you're holding heaven, then spread it around. Move over and share the high ground where you stood. The gospel ain't gospel until it's spread. So shine and hold and spread and move over and share. Love the darkness, love the light, love each other, and trust in the God of the universe and everything in between. Praise be to God. Amen.